Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Hello, and welcome to the 100-Year Real Estate Investor. My name is Gino Barbaro, and this is the show dedicated to personal financial engineering. With us today is our co-founder of the 100-Year Real Estate Investor, Teresa Kuhn. Teresa has been working with Whole Life Policies and in the financial services for over 30 years. Her and her team bring over 100-plus years of experience with over $1 billion in generational wealth created and a 94% policy retention rate. She's a bank-on-yourself professional, an expert in an infinite banking concept, and specializes in working with real estate investors. Welcome back to the show, Teresa.
Thank you, Gina. So happy to be here and so happy to see you. And today is a special treat for me.
Yes, because we have a special show today. And it really what we're going to dive into, Teresa's going to be interviewing me today on the show. We're going to be talking about limited partners, general partners, investing in real estate, utilizing the dual asset strategy, and something that we're working on right now, which is exciting about the iFlex. So without further ado, Teresa, let it rip. I'm ready. I'm an open book today.
Awesome. So I get to interview you about an investment that many real estate investors are involved with. And our conversation, you know, we do a lot of strategy calls with real estate investors, the Jake and Gino community, right, of students. And I have found that there is some misinformation out there about limited partnerships. And Gino, I just wanted to set the record straight because so many real estate investors out there are investing so much money into limited partnerships. And I'm thinking that there's a little bit of misinformation out there. I think there are a lot of investors that are being maybe misguided. Mm-hmm. And I know you are the source. You're going to tell it exactly like it is. No mincing of words. So are you ready for some of my questions?
Let it rip, as they say.
Okay. All right. So for those who might be listening and aren't familiar with limited partnership investments, can you give just an overview of what that is?
When you invest in real estate, you can go into the joint venture. Teresa and Gino can go out and say, we're going to partner up and we're going to buy this building together. It's just a joint venture. We're not raising any capital. We're partnering up. That's one structure. Another structure that we see very often in real estate is the syndication. That's a forming of a group of individuals for, easiest way to say it, is common interest. So Teresa, Gino, John, Michael, we all want to partner up and buy this building. We don't have the funds to do it, so we go out and we raise capital. When you start doing that, all of a sudden, you're creating a security because there's going to be the general partners of this deal that are running the deal. They're doing the deal. They're putting the deal together. They're hiring the property management company. They're finding the deal. And there's going to be the limited partners where they're raising the capital from. These are the people who are quote unquote passive. So you have the general partners on one side and you have the limited partners on the other side. And the reason why it is a security is because they are general partners are raising money from these limited partners with the expectation that the limited partners are completely passive. The general partners are doing all the work. That is what creates the security aspect of it. That's why the government gets involved. That's why the SEC gets involved with their laws. And, you know, go to the Jake and Gino site if you want to get more information on what a syndication looks like, the structure. I'm not an attorney here to tell you how the structure works or what the structure looks like. But what I would say is contact a syndication attorney because it can get really complicated. You may not even know that you're creating a syndication because the Howey test is how it actually started, Teresa. Back in the 1930s, there was this gentleman who had an orange farm down here, growing oranges, and he was raising capital from people and he was making money from the citrus. One day he decides to say, I'm not in this business anymore. You guys have it. They say, "Ooh, time out. You can't do that because you raise capital with an expectation of us not doing any work. You're taking any money. You created quote unquote a security. He lost it. And that's how the securities law came about. So it's very incumbent upon a lot of these investors out there. If you have a deal and you're quote unquote raising money and you're just getting people in and saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to do this, but we don't really need to create the syndication. Be wary. You may have created a syndication if you're doing all the work and all of your partners are just sitting there and getting a check every month. So it's really, really important to understand that structure. And that's the structure that we're going to be talking about today. When you're going out there and you're raising money and you're on the general partner side is the active one. Let's discuss that limited partner side, those people who are going to invest into that deal.
Yes. And so that's where the focus of our conversation is going to be. If I want to get involved in real estate, right? And I could go out there and be actively involved in finding properties and investing in the properties and taking on all the risk, or I can find some syndicators or some general partners who've got deals, you know, they're deal makers. They love putting together deals and they just need to raise capital. And so let's say I have capital to invest and I want to invest in a deal. Walk me through the thinking that I should have, Gino, as I'm considering some of these deals, because there's a lot of opportunities in the world, maybe not today, but there have been a lot of opportunities in the syndication world for limited partners, because syndicators were looking to raise capital and I've got money. So what should I be looking at when I'm considering these investments?
That's a difficult question to answer, because everyone has to look at it, their own personal goals, their own personal time, their own personal capital. What are they looking for into getting in a deal? Now, if you're a doctor and you're a seven-figure earner, but you don't have time, you don't have the bandwidth, a limited partnership probably makes a lot of sense to you, especially starting out. Now, if you want to transition into multifamily in the long run, I would still start out as a limited partner. Let someone else invest my money. Let me do what I'm really well at. Let me make that earned income and translate that earned income into some type of vehicle where I can start earning money, quote unquote, passively. Now, if you're younger and you're hungry and you don't have a lot of money to invest, the LP route may be more difficult, because on average, an LP investment is usually starting around $50,000. There are some people that start at $10,000, but most syndicators start in, you know, in those chunks of $50,000. So really start upon what your goals are. If you're starting out in investing in multifamily, you've never done it, and you want to get some experience, the limited partner route may be the way to go. You may want to invest on your first or second deal as a limited partner. You're completely passive, very little risk. Your risk is associated to that deal. That's where your risk is. So if that deal goes bad, you're limited to only that deal. Your funds are only going to be lost by the amount of money you put into that deal. Great place to start when you're first starting out, because you can see the mechanics. You can see behind the scenes how they start raising the money, how they put the deal together, how they've underwritten the deal. And then when you have skin in the game, it always makes it a little bit more apparent as to, wow, I've got money invested. I'm going to really pay attention to it. So I think looking at your goals within is really important, Teresa, saying, what do I want to accomplish? I always think it's a great idea to invest as a limited partner in a couple of deals to diversify. And one of the benefits of being a limited partner is you can invest with a certain sponsor or a certain group in Dallas, Texas, and then you can invest in another deal in St. Augustine, Florida. So you can diversify by using different markets and by investing in different deals. Each deal has its own metric. Are you looking for a deal that's going to cash flow and give you more of a yield? Or are you looking for a deal that's going to be a heavier lift and you're getting more money on the back end or growing more equity? So your strategy really, you have to know what the strategy is and what your goals are. And I think that's what being a limited partner allows you to do, to pick and choose what deals you're looking at. Now, Teresa, let me just give a couple of advantages to it. I think that's important more than anything else. The first advantage, I think, is you're passive. You're truly passive when you're a limited partner. You invest your money in the deal. Deal is done. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You're on webinars. You're on those, you know, those reports. The second part is you can focus on your life. You can go out and become the doctor that you want to be the lawyer, sell insurance, whatever that looks like. Focus on that and have your money working for you in an amazing asset. The next one is what I just said, diversifying into different markets, diversifying into different asset classes. Really good, because you can buy a B property that's a little bit newer. You can buy an older property. You can buy a self-storage property. You can buy a mobile home. So you can diversify into different asset classes as well. The next one, you're investing in a great asset. It's an amazing asset to own. So owning an asset in real estate is awesome. You're also building wealth for the long term when you're investing in a limited partner. And you're starting to learn by leveraging others. That's what wealthy people do. You're actually investing in a deal. You're earning money, but you're also learning how to invest in that asset class. Now, those are all the advantages. And there are some really amazing advantages, but there's a lot of cons. Life is a trade-off. There's balances, pros versus cons. And Teresa and I, one day, were sitting at an event back last year at a Buyright bootcamp, and it really dawned on me. When you invest in a limited partnership, we actually realized you're diluted on day one. So if you're putting $100 into a deal, you're not really putting $100 into a deal. Once you take out fees and you take out the waterfalls or the co-promotes, you get diluted on day one. And I think most people who invest in a limited partnership don't understand that. They're looking at what the return is 3 to 5 years, and they're looking at what we call an internal rate of return. Just understand that you invest a dollar, you don't own a dollar. Very similar to what whole life happens with whole life. It takes a couple of years for that asset to seed and to start providing for you. Number two, there is risk in multifamily. It's an amazing asset class, but if you have a sponsor or you're in a deal yourself that you don't know what you're doing, you may lose money in that deal. It's happened in real estate. People don't remember that, but it has happened and it will happen now because the asset class in the market is starting to shift. Number three, which is a big one for me, you have no control. If I put money in a limited partnership and all of a sudden that group is doing something that I don't like, you better read the private placement memorandum because you have very little control in that asset of what's done with that asset. You're giving your money very similar to a mutual fund. You have no control in that deal. Very similar. Money's in the limited partnership. In that deal, they're doing with it what they want, what they think is best for them. So if you want to change managers, if you want to raise rents, mum's the word. You can't do anything about it. The next one is really important. Also, there's no liquidity. If you want to take your money out of a limited partnership deal, there's no liquidity. There's very little on the second market going out and selling shares in that because there's not much of a demand for that. So if all of a sudden you need access to that money's locked in there, you may have to sell it at 60 or 70 cents on the dollar at a discount because there aren't many people with an appetite to buy that asset unless it's the person running the deal who's going to buy it at a significant discount or maybe another limited partner who is going to buy it at a discount because there's not much of a market for those shares. And I think one of the last ones I have to say, is it short term? I mean, when you're working limited partners, and Teresa, you're going to touch on this, what returns people are projecting, they're getting into a syndication. The general partners make money on the back end. So if you're a general partner, your idea is to get fees on the front end, run this deal really well, and hopefully the next 3, 4, 5, 7 years, have that deal working really well and being able to sell that deal and recoup the money, make the profit, and go into the next deal. So sometimes on these LP deals, when you're investing in them, make sure you understand the business plan of the person in the syndication group that are putting together these assets, because it may not align with what your model is. You may want to be wanting to hold these assets long-term, whereas the general partners are more motivated to be able to fix this property up, reposition it, and sell it in a couple of years because they're making money on what we call the back end. They're splitting the profits on the profits of the back end. Now, a lot of people say refi. You know, this part of the market cycle, I don't know if you're going to be able to refi in the next 2 to 3 years because rates are up right now. Banks lending is pulling back. Loan to values have dropped. So you may not be cashing out as much as you thought you did. So you may be able to hold this property longer. So just be careful about your goals as a limited partner aligning with the goals of the group investing in the deal. Now, I said a lot there, Teresa. I hope people go back and listen to it because there are a lot of pros. It's an amazing way to start generating wealth, but there's also some risks and some challenges to the model as well.
You did say a whole lot, and I'm going to break down a couple pieces that I think are really super important based on the conversations that we have with real estate investors. And we have those conversations every day, all day long, and having them for decades now. And so we're real estate investors, and we very much understand the mindset of real estate investors all across the board. Like you said, everyone's got a different objective. And when I asked that open-ended question in the beginning, like, you know, tell us about limited partnerships and the objectives of individuals. It's all specific to that individual, right? What their objective is, what they're trying to accomplish, and matching their objectives with the investment. Now, in the last 5 years, we have seen a very common theme in a lot of these limited partnerships. And that was investing money and the general partner saying, and in 2 years, we're going to add value to the property and we're going to refinance and you're going to get your money back. Gino, speak to that today, because a lot of real estate investors today are still thinking that's a possibility.
Teresa, anything's a possibility. I just think the possibility is a lot less than it was 2 and 3 years ago. And if we take a trip down memory lane, when Jake and I first started buying our assets back in 2010, 11, and 12, syndication was not as prevalent as it is today because it was of something we call the market cycle. It was a buyer cycle. And when there's a buyer cycle, there's very little appetite for the asset and there's a lot less ability to raise capital. So in that part of the cycle, you're buying assets that are cheaper, but there's not much money flowing to the asset. We've seen a big shift in that going from a buyer's market to a seller's market in the last 7 or 8 years. And now what we're seeing is markets are starting to shift again, and they just have to. Rates are going up. There is a recession coming along. We're talking about teaching our students to buy in decades, because the next cycle, the reason you can tell we've had a high, you know, part of the market for the last 3 or 4 years is when you see these assets being bought and then flipped out 18 months later. That means people have been adding so much value over the last 18 months and flipping, and then adding value and flipping. I just had a student bring me a deal, and she said this person bought this asset 7 months ago. You don't buy an asset in multifamily, do all that work, and then 7 months later, you decide to sell. One of two things happen. It really appreciated crazily, or they find out that, hey, this is not for me. I'm going to get out as quickly as possible. So be wary of people telling you you're going to get your money back in 24 months. It's possible. I just think right now, us as real estate investors, we need to have a longer time horizon, because the way we mitigate risk is by, you know, underwriting, especially now in this part of the market cycle, getting that long-term fixed rate financing, because the only two times you care about the value of real estate is when you buy it and when you sell it. Those are the only two times you really care about the value of the asset. So just be wary of people telling you in the next 24 months, I'm going to do this to the property, get rents up. Rents have elevated tremendously over the last 2 to 3 years. Are they going to continue at 10 and 15%? Be careful of what a person's underwriting is saying. If you're seeing rents rising 15% for the next 3 or 4 years on an underwriting, that may be a little bit too risky. That's how they're getting those returns. And that's how they're formulating their internal rate of return, by putting in those estimates and making sure that those estimates aren't so, what's the word, aggrandized or so inflated. That's where the risk comes into play. So just be wary of that. And once again, like I said to you about the debt, debt's starting to pull back. Loan to values are starting to drop, whereas you need to bring more money to the table because real estate wants, the banks want to take less risk on that. And as rates rise, valuations drop. So it's harder for you, you know, buying an asset 6 months ago at 3 or 3.5%, you know, interest rate. Now rates are 4.5 to 5. So are you going to be able to refi now? I think in the next 5 or 6 years, rates will drop again. I mean, rates will go up and it'll go down. When we're in a recession, the Fed's got to drop interest rates. They were just caught. They just should have raised interest rates a lot sooner to slow the economy down a little bit and to, you know, to tamper with disinflation. It just took them too long to do that. So just be careful of people telling you that in the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to get all of your money back. Just make sure you understand who that sponsor is. Make sure you go through that underwriting with a fine tooth comb and make sure you can verify a lot of those numbers.
You know, the question that I posed to you, you know, is it possible? That was the wrong question. Is it probable? What's the probability? And today in the economic cycle that we're in, it is much less probable than it was 5 years ago. And in fact, 5 years ago, who would have predicted what happened in the last 5 years, right? No one has. There was a time I interviewed the most brilliant economists when I had a radio show in the world. And what I ended up finding out, you know, and it was really funny, I ended up finding out that all these economists were super brilliant, had amazing data to back up their positions, and they were always right and they were always wrong. It was just a matter of timing. Eventually they'd be right, and eventually they would, you know, and other times they were wrong, right? So all this to say, if an investor is considering a limited partnership or investing in limited partnerships, because we see many clients that have on their balance sheet, and we have them list them out. Okay, how many limited partnership investments do you have? And they have quite a few of them. We have students in our community, 10, 20, 30 different investments, right, in limited partnerships. And their expectations, I think are pretty aggressive in what they're thinking is going to happen with these investments. So just overall, how many of these investments would you say make it, you know, for the baseball analogy, you know, make it to first base, make it to second base, are home runs? Like, how many would you say?
There's a lot more base hits, but Teresa, what's important, we should have mentioned this, in this part of the market cycle, as you're buying deals, a lot of these limited partnerships don't cash flow day one or day 180 or day year two. What they're doing is they have a preferred rate of return. They're going to say, I'm going to give you 8%. And a preferred rate of return basically says that the limited partners get the first X percentage for 7-8% of that cash flow deal. But a lot of the deals that you're underwriting now, day one, they don't work with that because there's not another, rents are so low and you have to raise rents so drastically in the next 12 to 24 months that you're not getting cash flow. You're really going to get the equity. And that's why you're saying, hey, I'm going to refi this in 24 months. I'm going to give you all that cash flow that I owed you. Plus, I'm going to give you a lot of your money back. Right now, there's risk in that. We've passed on deals because of that, because what happens if you do go into a recession and you can't raise rates, or you're in a supply chain crisis and you can't get windows to turn these units? There's a lot of risk involved in that. I'm not saying it's probable or not, because I don't know. We've been lucky in real estate, and specifically multifamily, because rents have risen. So operators haven't had to do anything of their own deal doing, and they've been able to make money. But I will promise everybody, that changes, and that changes really quick. Ask all of the real estate residential brokers where you are. And this, as of this recording, we're at the end of the summer of 2022. I remember in April of 2022, talking to residential brokers in Jacksonville, they had 2,000 houses on the market. That's all. 3 months later, rates go up. All of a sudden, there's 4,000 homes. Houses are staying on the market triple. And we're talking within 30 days, the market can completely shift. And this can happen in real estate as well. And what Teresa and I are saying is, it's great to invest in these deals. Maybe not put every single one of your eggs into the LP basket. Maybe it's time to diversify. And what we've been constantly saying, what I practice, you know, diligently, is I don't want every single one of my dollars at risk. There's a place in our personal financial engineering to think about putting money into an asset where the money is not at risk, but I have the opportunity cost to be able to pull that money so that if I really do see a deal, an LP deal that I love, I can invest in that LP deal as well.
You got it. You got it, Gina. We're not saying don't invest in limited partnerships. We're saying don't put all your eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got Rick Sapio, who's one of our co-founders of the 100-year real estate investor. He's got patent pending the barbell strategy. And if you look at barbell strategy, if you Google it, you'll see a lot of people have copied it since he came up with it years ago. And basically what that says is, hey, you know, just be even balanced, risk and safe money. Here's another analogy that I absolutely love, and I've gotten even better at articulating it. You know, if you were king of the kingdom, of your kingdom, Gino, of the Gino kingdom, and you had an army, how many of your soldiers would you have on the front line at risk?
That's a great question.
Killed or injured or, yes, you know, yes, taking in, you know, the hits.
Mm-hmm. You don't want them all out there, because if you have them all out there, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And you want to preserve a number of your soldiers as the last men standing. No matter what happens, right? Mm-hmm. You know that you've got contingencies to protect you. Mm-hmm. Why do most investors look, you know, I look at their balance sheets all day long and I'm seeing what they've got. Very little in reserve and so much money at risk. And every single one of those dollars that they've got are soldiers in their kingdom. And some of those jobs, and I tell them, allocate a job to each soldier, allocate a job to each dollar. And when you see that every dollar is allocated towards risk, that should send up an alarm that says, wait, something's off here. Something's really off here. And we're seeing so many investments in limited partnerships, and we're not saying that's bad. We're saying make sure your expectations are meeting your objectives, are meeting the objectives of the general partner, and how much money do you have set aside for reserves to protect and preserve the rest of your kingdom? protect and preserve the rest of your balance sheet.
Mm-hmm. You work for Wall Street. You've been part of that, what I want to call them, racket. And what they discuss is the risk versus reward. You know, everyone's always saying the more risk you have to take, the more reward you get. And that's a mantra or a myth that's been propagated forever, basically just wanting them to hand your money over to the stock market. I was speaking to a high level real estate investor, and I asked him the other day, what risk do you see in the market? And he basically said the risk is internal. It's more the operation side, and also not working with cash flow and not having cash management. Right. So if you're out there and you have no cash in reserves, we were very fortunate when March of 2020 hit. We didn't need PPP. We didn't need any of this because we had plenty of reserves on hand. And I also had policies on hand that if I needed that money, I could tap into that money. So it's very important as entrepreneurs and business owners and even people, if you have a family, you need to have money. I don't want my money in a savings account as a reserve because that's only for a rainy day fund. When I need it, I want to be able to allocate it, but I want that dollar doing multiple functions. I want it to be able to have a death benefit. And I was reading Garrett Gunderson's book, very important point here. And what really blew me away was when you're buying this whole life insurance and you have the death benefit, you're buying your net worth at your. So if you have a death benefit of $5 million, you just bought $5 million of net worth for your estate. Now, most people can't grasp that because hopefully they'll live for the next 30, 40, 50 years. But how many assets can you do that where you're protecting yourself in the future? You're able to utilize the money today with all of these other amazing benefits to it. So that to me was mind blowing as well. So, you know, the cash flow, the cash management, that risk, we all have to mitigate that. And we need to have money in reserves. We can't have all of our money tied up into 20 different limited partnerships where they're very illiquid. You have no control. And if something does go wrong, then what happens? You can't touch that money. And I guess your castle or your kingdom is going to be at risk with that strategy.
Got it. And I get what some investors are thinking right now because they haven't been introduced to the iFlex strategy that we're mm-hmm. using now with the 100-year real estate investor. We've got the dual asset strategy. It's paying premiums into a whole life policy and building up that asset where you become your own source of financing and all the benefits that you just talked about. We now have the iFlex strategy, which if you've got a permanent life insurance policy, we've got lending facilities that can take that policy and use it as collateral and enable you to establish a line of credit to pay premiums for future policies, for other policies. And if you don't have an existing permanent life insurance policy, and it's only very specific ones, we can start one. And once you have $100,000 of cash value, we have lending facilities that can help you if you decide you want to choose to establish that line of credit to help pay future premiums. Mm-hmm. And so I use that language very, very carefully, right? It's not premium finance. It is you have a policy that you're using as collateral, and we've got lending facilities that will establish a line of credit for you using that policy as collateral. You can do whatever you want with that line of credit. You can go invest in real estate. You can go pay for college. You can buy cars. And it can help you pay future premiums. And the dynamic return that's possible with that strategy, very competitive, if not greater than some of these limited partnerships. And so what we're telling our clients is, hey, like you said, you've got 10, 15, 20 investments in different limited partnerships. Number one, you're not diversified in those investments. Number two, they're illiquid. Number three, day one, like you said, you put $100,000 into a limited partnership, on your balance sheet, it's not worth $100,000, mm-hmm. right? What is it, $70,000, Gino, would you say, in most deals?
It depends on what the co-promoter, if it's an 80-20, 70-30, it could be $70,000, it could be $80,000, it could be $90,000, but it sure is not $100,000. And I can accept that because when you're seeding a business, you know you're investing in the business.
Absolutely.
You know you're going to actually be putting some of that capital towards funding this limited partnership and towards funding this real estate deal. But just understand that that's a big component. There's a component of risk in that.
Absolutely. And as Nelson Nash used to say, right? When you capitalize a business, what are you doing? You're not going to have 100%, mm-hmm. Day one. What you're doing when you're establishing a whole life insurance policy is you are establishing a business. You're establishing something that's going to serve you for the rest of your life. You're not going to have 100% day one. with our iFlex strategy, we're now able to use that policy as collateral, establish a line of credit, and that gives you options. And one of the options is to help you pay your premiums. While the return, the dynamic return available with that strategy, again, competes with so many of these limited partnerships. And all we're saying is, instead of 100,000 going into limited partnership, put it in the iFlex strategy. It's going to provide tax-free cash flow in your future. The death benefit, it gives you critical care benefits, which if you have any issues in the future in terms of health, you can access the death benefit while you're living to help serve you, and so many other benefits that we talk about with the 100-year real estate investor. So all we're saying here, consider, right, and this as an opportunity, instead of one of your limited partnership investments, put it into the iFlex or the dual asset strategy.
And for anybody listening, it took me a couple of calls with the team to understand the iFlex. So I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. So for anybody out there that, you know, wants to jump on a call with Teresa and understand this at a deeper level, because once you really sit down and you look at the numbers and you say to yourself, I've got benefits today. I'm capitalizing a quote unquote policy today to work. And you're doing it for the long term. And really what you're doing is you're helping the setup for your estate as well. But you've got liquidity today. So if something happens where you need to pay an employee or you need to do a big capital expense or you need to change a roof, you have the money available today in this and you're doing it for the long term. Just go to dualassetstrategy.com and set up a call with one of the team members and they'll walk you through the policy. They'll walk you through the benefits of the policy, how to start out the policy. And for those of you in real estate, it's just a no-brainer because it really is leveraging your money, leveraging the policy and leveraging all the benefits within that strategy. I think if you structure yourself properly and you have the right mindset, you're thinking about the short term where you want to get some type of cash flow from a limited partnership, but you're also thinking of the long term, you know, just set up a call with a 100-year team member. They can walk you through the strategy, walk you through what it looks like. And for me, you know, I've been in whole life for over 20 years. I've got several policies. I've taken out policies out of my children, and I'm going to be doing one with the iFlex as well for my wife as well, because I've got an existing policy that I'm going to leverage into doing it. So if you've got an existing policy, it works on an existing policy. This is really unique to everybody. This is not cookie cutter. This is, for me, this is what the wealthy are doing, but we can bring this down to the average person and they can benefit it as well. So if you want to act wealthy, start thinking like the wealthy, start thinking long-term and get on the call with the dualassetstrategy.com and set up a call with them.
Which makes it so exciting. And like you said, it's not an either or strategy. It's, can I put my money here or here, right? You know what? We have many, many of our clients use the money in their policies to go invest in limited partnerships, right? It's not an either or, it's an and. You can put it dual asset and, right? Put it in your policy and then go out and invest. So, Gino, thank you. It's always a privilege being here with you on the Jake and Gino Show. And what a treat I got to host today.
Thanks, Teresa. Everybody out there, have a great day. And like I said, dualassetstrategy.com. Till next time, we'll see you all. Thanks.
Thank you.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.